Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you by Ben Chumot Yerushalayim is a very easy daf, kala as could be, kuf lamed hey, and that's how to look at it. We're at the bottom of kuf lamed dalet amud beit, suffig v'androgynous. The next case that we had in the Mishnah in terms of Chilul Shabbat is that the Mishnah tells us that in any case where you have a suffig, and we're going to talk about which svekot those are, or if there's a doubt as to the sex of the child, as we know he has a penis, but the question is he male? Because we have an androgynous that has both indications. So because of that, the Tanakhama holds, and this was the Machlokes of the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, whether androgynous is a definite chiyuv to be Dorcha Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, Orlato. Now we know that Lashon, it could have said Bisar Orla. This Bisar Orlato is pointing out specifically, now it's in the same pasuk, by Yom HaShmini, which is where we learn out the Chilul Shabbos, and that is only Orlato, but not another type of Orla. Meaning what? Only the Orla, which is a Vadai Chiyuv, is Dochet HaShabbat, Velo Safek Dochet HaShabbat. You better keep an eye on things. Orlato vaday dochet haShabbat, velo androgynous dochet haShabbat. You can only be dochet Shabbos where there is no a suffix. So the androgynous would be a clear cut suffix. We had the suffix that we spoke about in the Mishnah, which Rashi brought. We're going to talk about this tomorrow as well. Suffix whether this is a child that is a nafel, in which case it's not Dochet Shabbos, because it's not fully alive and won't survive, or a child that is not a nafel. But there are many other svekot. So let's go on with the svekot. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, don't include androgynous here. Androgynous is definitely Bechal Shabbos, and we're going to see where he bases this. Anyway, getting back now to the list of svekot. And by the way, says Rabbi Yehuda, if this androgynous is an adult and never gets a brit milah, he will be also chayif karet, onesh karet, like any other male. Orlato vaday dochet haShabbat. Another example would be venlo nolad ben hashmashan dochet haShabbat. So if we're not sure whether this is a child, that this is the eighth day or not, because he was born ben hashmashot, and this may not be his eighth day, in which case we're not going to be dochet Shabbos. For orlato vaday dochet haShabbat, velo nolad kishu mohul dochet haShabbat, and not if he doesn't have a foreskin, because that is not so simple. Shebeit Shammai omrim that even though Beit Shammai says, I mean, if he doesn't have a foreskin, what would you want to do on Shabbos? Because Beit Shammai says tzarech latif mimenu dam brit, you would still have to get a little bit of blood out of him. And Beit Hillel omrim eino tzarech is coming to tell me that even according to Beit Shammai, we'll get into this machloket soon, even Beit Shammai holds tzarech latif mimenu dam brit is moda that that's only bechol, not on Shabbos. Now, Tosus speaks out that none of this really makes any sense to say that we would need a pasuk of Orlato Vaday. I mean, why in the world would we be Dochet Shabbat Mitzad HaSafek? If all of these cases, I mean, it obviously, even the case of whether maybe this is his seventh day or his eighth day, we're not sure what day he was born, I mean, isn't it better to be Dochet the Chiyav of Shmini B'Mila with a Shevi Alta Aseh? Just passively don't do the milah, than to be mechal Shabbos with an actual action, right? I mean, we're going to be mechal Shabbos be a daim. Therefore, tainis tosfos that actually all these other svekot that we're talking about, other than the androgynous and the case of dolachu mahul, all of these things are actually just an esmachta b'yom. Because otherwise, we wouldn't really be able to be Bechal Shabbos anyway on our own. The question is, how could we apply both the issue of Hatafat Dam Brit and Nolat Kishu Mahul and Androg? And as the Tosfos points out, there's really two psukim. There is a posik by B'yom HaShmini, Yimo Besar Orlato, which is Orel Vaday, but it also says Orel Zachar Shelo Yimo Besar Orlato, v'nichrata, which is obviously an adult. That was again talking about we can't be speaking about an iser karet. So that basically the Gemara is really hiding an awful lot in this braita. And we're talking about essentially a smachtot and more than one pasuk. But we'll get to the details later on in the Gemara when we see how Rabbi Yehuda deals with the issue of androgynous. So, that is the approach of the Tanakhama in the Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Do we or do we not require hatafat dam brit? According to Beit Hillel, you don't require hatafat dam brit, but definitely the Machloket, according to the Tanakhama, is only the chol on Shabbat. For sure you're not metiv dam brit. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, lo nechlaku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Not true. Everybody agrees. You know why? Because we cannot be sure that what we're looking at on a nolat kishul ma'ul is actually a child born without a foreskin. You can't be sure that that's what you're looking at. Because in a case where there was a merging of the foreskin with the actual normal epidermis of the penis, then you would still have a foreskin, and you didn't do anything about it. It's just that it's now become attached. Normally the foreskin isn't attached, it's just held in place by this membrane under it, and it's tight. But over here, it could be an Arla Kvusha. If it's an Arla Kvusha, so then at least be Matif Min Adam Brit. So that's for sure not the issue. The Machlokas is where you don't have a chashash of an orla kvusha. And that would be, let's say, a ger, where today most people are circumcised. He's mitgayer. Well, what are you going to do? You can't circumcise him again. There's nothing to cut. So a ger shenit gayer shuhu mahul already, is there an inyan of mila anymore? Beit Shammai says, well, there's always an inyan of mila, because just like Yisrael were nichnasim with dam into the brit, so too, you have to be matif, dam brit, from a ger, but there's no question that vis-a-vis a possibility of an orla kvusha, you would definitely require a da'atafa.
Even on this day, is that what
we're saying? For the child, that we're going to get to. That's a machlokas that's coming up. Ubeit Hillel omrim, ein tzorich latif bimenu dam brit, there's no din of a ger, but of being matif dam brit, but where there's a chashash, there's a real orla, then there is. At this point, in answer to Rabbi Yaakov's question, this point we're assuming that this is not a reference to Shabbat, just a reference to Chol, because it's a din of a suffix. Maybe it's orla kvusha. This doesn't look good. Okay, so now you've explained an awful lot of cases. But what you haven't explained is the case that says velo safek. That's a general case, velo safek. If you're telling me that, then either don't list all the other sfekot. You just listed five different things over here. If it's an olet kishumol, if it's an androgen, if it's an olet ben hashmashas. So what's missing? I don't get it. What's missing? So what is that extra case? Obviously, you want to tell me specifically something. My, let's do your mind. Ah, that's Latuya de Tanura, but it is not mentioned Beferish in the Braita. What do you do when you are not sure? Now remember, in ancient times, all cultures had this idea of there being such a thing. I can't.
Richie!
You take care of it. As there being such a thing as a 7th month gestation. Which means that if a child was born very early, if this was a child that had been conceived 7 months ago, then that is a perfectly well-formed, normal infant, not a premature infant. But if this was meant to be a 9-month gestation and was born early, so now it's really the 8th month, then in Mechalalin Alevet HaShabbat, because it cannot live. And so for all intents and purposes, it's just a dead piece of meat. Suffolk Bay, of course, this doesn't apply today, and even as Tosafot points out for other reasons, today it doesn't apply because we don't have a problem anyway of keeping premature infants alive, and therefore none of this would be Nagea.
And it was a done deal that an 8-month gestation was simply not enough.
Nothing to do. Yeah. Right. If it was meant to be a 9-month gestation. Right. Yeah. Shofik ben Sheva, Shofik ben Shmona, im mechal limit al Shabbat, you're not mechal Shabbos for anything, because for all that's purpose, already dead. So that ben Shmona Vada is already dead. Ben Shmona Rikke Evan, you can't even move him. But if it's a Shofik, so then you can't be mechal Shabbos, because you don't know whether he may be a viable infant. You can't be mechal Shabbos to do his brit milah, because maybe he's not chayiv bichlal. If he's a ben shmona, then he's ke'evin vasur l'tato, he can't even move him on Shabbos because he's mukzah. However, because the mother may get a breast infection if she doesn't get rid of some of her milk, so she can be shochah u'minikato mipnei ha'sakana. This doesn't mean a sakana nefashot necessarily, so it points out, because there's no real kill Shabbos involved in terms of malok shetzirka l'gufa, and because of that, it means sakana, meaning she can get ill, itma. Rav Amar Alok Ketan Kama, Shmuel Amar Alok Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. So here we have a machlokes out of pasuk. According to Rav, there's not even a tzad to say that you require atafat dam brit. And according to Beit Hillel and according to Shmuel, there is. Our assumption is, okay, there is, but only b'chol, not b'shabbat. Now what happened is that Rav Ada Bar Ava had a child. That was no lot, kishumol. So the other day, we yanuka kishumol, and it was Shabbos. And on Shabbos, went to 13 different mo'alim to try to figure out how to get rid of this orla kavusha until they finally damaged this penis. And Shavi Kruchavcha, and Yerushalmi says the kid died, actually. It was terrible. Omar, so he said, Tatili, I deserve what I got. The Avriyat of Rav, because I ignored the psak of Rav, who says Alocha Ketana Kama, and according to the Tana Kama, Beit Hillel, you do not require Atafat Dam Brit, and I should never have started with this. Omer Leibor Nach, what do you mean you were over on Rav? You're over on everybody. Nobody said you're supposed to do it on Shabbat. The most question was, even according to Shmuel, at least that's what we're assuming all along, what are you saying? Got the Shmuel Lo'amar? You weren't over on Shmuel's Pesach, only on Rav's Pesach. I mean, all that Shmuel said, when he said Alachak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says Lo nechru go beit shamay beit hillel anolat shu mahul, definitely tzarech lativ imenu dam brit. What, that didn't mean on Shabbat, that meant b'chol, because it was a suffix. Bishop Shabbat mi amar. How in the world did Rav Barava do this on Shabbat? No, because who's savar? He holds of what Shmuel pasim. But his understanding of the Mishnah is that what Rabbi Shimon was saying, is lo nechleku, not because maybe there is a foreskin here, except that we don't see it, but vadai, in all of these cases of born, what appears to be born mahul, is simply a foreskin that has joined with the actual skin. So vadai arlak vushayi. And we know that there's a machloket like this, by the way. Rava says that the whole meaning over here in the machlokes is whether chayshinan shema arlak fusha. Not to say that there was a chiyav of chilul Shabbos, but that since perhaps this is not really nolad mahul without a foreskin, if there's a foreskin, so then on that suffix you should be matif dam brit. Whereas Rav Yossi says, no. If we're saying like Rav Shimon ben Elazar that nolad kishumol tzorech lativ imenu ben dam brit, it's not because chayshina shemar lakvusha, it's because vadayar lakvushayi. That's what Rav Ada Bar Ava was saying, and because of that, if it's vadayar lakvusha, then it's a chiyev of brit milah on Shabbat like anybody else, and therefore you try to be mechal Shabbos. Om Rav Yosef, I'll prove to you that for sure. What it was that the Mishnah was talking about, the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, had to have been, according to the Tana Kama over here, had to have been a question of Chilul Shabbat. Because, look, Rebbe Eliezer, in the Braita we have a third sheet, the Tanya. Rebbe Eliezer HaKafar Omer, excuse me, the way you, both Rebbe Eliezer HaKafar, this is how it does understand it. Both Rabbi Elazar HaKafa and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, by the way, that was an amazing find, archaeological find, when I was not here, but in Kfar Dabora, where the mosque in the Kfar, they found on top of the lintel, as you come into the door, it says, Ze Beit Midrasho Shel Harabi Eliezer HaKafa. Unbelievable.
And then in walked in Barnea.
Yeah, of course.
And then in walked Barnea.
Yes, and he picked it up and put it into the museum in Katsrin, where it can now be seen.
Really?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay, so in any event, I'll prove it to you. Because Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar Omer, Lo Nechlaku Beit Shammai Ubeit Hillel, he was also responding to the Tanakhama, right? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said, no, you have it wrong. They weren't arguing about whether you need to be Matif Dam Brit from someone who is Nolad Mahul. The Machlokas was only whether you need to be Matif Dam Brit from someone who already had a Brit when he was a Goy. So he was circumcised when he has a Goy, now he's coming as a Ger. That's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, okay? But, I keep saying that, I mean Rabbi Shimon Elazar. But I disagree, he says. That's not the point. The point is, you're right about the Tanakhama being wrong, but what you should have said is not that where is the Machloket? The Machloket is about the Ger. This is what you should have said. Lo nechlegu beit shamay beit hillel anolat shu maul shitzarich latif mimenu dam brit. Okay? That part is true. But don't say alma nechlegu on a Ger that's coming. Say Alma Netlaku, on whether you should be Mechal El Shabbat. That's what you should have said. That over there, Beit Shammai says, indeed you're Mechal El Shabbat, even, then it sounded Sadasophic. And Beit Hillel Amrim, Ein Mechal El Shabbat. Now, okay, obviously that doesn't support me, and I'm not going like Rabbi Elazar HaKafar. But I want you to analyze from the words of Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, okay? I want you to think, what does that imply about the Tanakhama? Because it seems quite clear that Lav Michlal the Tanakhama Sovar, Mechalelino Lavet HaShabbat. So it would appear, therefore, to say that according to the Tanakhama, you would definitely be Mechalel Shabbat in a case of the Nolad Kishuhu Mohu. Why? I don't understand. Why? What makes you say that? Just the opposite. The Tanakhama was saying, everybody agrees, Ein Mechal in Lavet HaShabbat. Comes on Rabbi Elazar HaKafar to say that according to Beit Shammai, Mechal in Lavet HaShabbat. No. You can't say that pshat. Because if that would be the pshat, then what was Rabbi Elazar HaKafar coming to talk about? Who was he coming to talk about? What is his issue between him and the Tanakhama? What Beit Shammai holds? We don't find machlokes in about what Beit Shammai holds because we don't really care. So I'm going to include in a Mishnah where the klal is that Beit Shammai b'makom Beit Hillel in a Mishnah. We're not going to have a machlokes. Oh, what did Beit Shammai say? And there's no implications if you're trying to tell me that, no, according to Tanakhama, you're b'chlam b'chal Shabbos. There's no implications vis-a-vis Beit Hillel. I'm agreeing with you on Beit Hillel. I'm just telling you that Beit Shammai argues. So, therefore, I maintain, says Rabbi Yosef, that since it couldn't be that in Cain, Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar is only coming to tell us the time of the Beit Shammai, must be that indeed the Tanakhama holds that for sure Mechalel Lavet HaShabbat. Oh, says the Gemara to Rabbi Yosef, that's not true. All that it's saying is, Achika Amar, all that he's trying to say is that the Tanakhama is saying lo nechleku, that there's bichlal no machlokas on this, lo nechleku beit shamay u beit hillel bedavar zeh. All that he's saying, that's his lashon, is there is no machlokas whatsoever about what you were talking about. That's the point. Not that yes, we have to rediscuss what the din is between beit shamay and beit hillel. It's talking about a completely different issue. You definitely need to be Matif Dam Brit. And the only machlokas is on Shabbos. And therefore, what he was saying was Nogeh Beit Hillel also. Because he's coming to say that Beit Hillel holds that you require Lafukim Yemenu Dam Brit. That's a Dam Brit. Like this, according to the Tanakhama, What was the simple way we understood it? And according to the Dana Kama, there's no discussion about whether you require hatafas dam bris at all. That's exactly what it was mashma. Eino tzorich bichlal. And comes along, Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar, to say, no. According to Beit Hillel, you do require hatafat dam bris. The only machlokes is whether you require hatafat dam bris on Shabbat. So who is he explaining? Beit Hillel. I mean, yes, also Beit Shammai, but the point is that there's a very serious machlokes here. So according to the Tanna Kamma, you don't even need hatafat dam bris, according to Beit Hillel. According to Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar, you do need hatafat dam bris, just not on Shabbat. The Beit Shammai is on Shabbat. And when we talked about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, says Rabbi Rav Yosef, I say that they were only talking about the suffix. And it was a question whether chayshin an shema or lakvusha. We're certainly not saying vaday or lakvusha. Omer Rabasi says a very interesting thing. The Torah compares, somehow, we know when we read that whole parsha of Tazria, Ishaki Tazria, the Yalda Zachar, Tumah Shivat Yamim, etc., which has nothing to do with Ishak of Tezriah. Really strange to throw in the dinim of Mila in the middle of a parsha that's talking about Tumat Leida and Tumat Nida and Tumat Zava and so on and so on. What in the world does Brit Mila have to do with it? Therefore, says Rabasi, the point is that the Torah is telling you what is considered to be a birth that is Mechayev Mila B'Yom HaShmini. That's the point. Sekoshi imot tmeya leida, where the mother is indeed tmeya shivat yamim, then ubayom hashmini imot. But if for some reason ein imot tmeya leida, let's say the baby was delivered by cesarean section, in which case there was no din of leida that is mitame, or let's say the mother at the time was not Jewish, then afterwards they were Megayer. If there's no din of imot me'aleida, then there is no din of dafka yom hashmini. So if the baby is midgayer today, we'll do the mila today. And we certainly will not be in any way related to Chilul Shabbos, because there's no din of uba yom hashmini. How do I know this, says Rabbaz? Because it says, Yishaki tazriya v'yelda zachar utmeya uba yom hashmini imol b'sar lato. Therefore, they're interrelated. How is that possible? Was the Dorot HaRishonim, and was before the Torah was given, was there a din of Imot Me'aleida? No. Nonetheless, was there a mitzvah Mila Nima L'Shmona? I said, Yitzchak, Sarah was Me'aleida. Zinim B'Yom HaShminimo. What does that have to do with anything? As you know perfectly well, once the Torah is given, the makor of the chiyuv of the mitzvah is not the original makor. The makor of the chiyuv of the mitzvah is Kabbalat HaTorah. At that point, nitchatcha halacha. Therefore, the Torah was given in such a way that now created a different set of relationships between Tuma and Leida. What do you care? But, Mo'ayitma, Yotzei Dofen, Umishi Yeshlo Shtei Arelot. So in a case where you have two separate foreskins in the simple meaning, although Rashi brings a pshat that there are two penises, which is rather strange. But in any event, if there are two arelot, or if the child was Yotzei Dofen, Ravuna Rav Chia Bar Rav, Chadamar Mechalalin at HaShabbat, Vechadamar Ein Mechalalin Lav at HaShabbat. But you see that the only machlokas is whether you're mechalel Shabbat, even though the mother is certainly over here yotzei dofen. There's no tmeya leida, right? But ad kan lo plige lechalel alav at Shabbat. But there's vaday a din of mila bishmini vaday ma'alina leida. It seems to be that you're wrong, because over here, even those who say we won't be mechalel at Shabbat still don't even bring up the issue of whether you need to be Nima L'Shmini, and you said, no, there's no dinner Shmini Bechlal. If the baby is delivered by Caesarean, then you're Mal immediately. There's no dinner B'Yom HaShmini. Well, I mean, why do you jump to that conclusion? Maybe Abba HaTalia. The two are interrelated. In other words, If there's a din of Mila B'Shmini, then you're Mechalel Shabbos, because that's reserved by Yom HaShmini, by Yom HaFilu B'Shabbat. But if there's no din of Nima L'Shmini, so then there's no din of Yom HaShmini, HaFilu B'Shabbat. That's also, it's interrelated. It's just the fact that we don't speak about it, the Machlok is taken for granted that you understand that this is based on an analysis of the Pasuk, obviously.
And it might be before Shmini?
Yeah. Why not? So how about Talia? These two things would be interrelated. The fact is, what Rabasi said, that there's an interrelationship between Tumat Leida and the Din of Mila, appears to actually be a Machloket Tanaim. Because, look, there are two different Dinim in the Torah, which imply that Yesh Yilid Bayit Nimola Echad, V'Yesh Yilid Bayit Shnimola Shmona, because we have two completely different psukim. It says in the one case, Yimo Yelid Beitcha Umiknat Kaspecha. No mention of Bayom HaShmini. So that means you buy an Eved, or an Eved is born in your Rishos, you're going to have to be Mal without consideration of Yom HaShmini. Because otherwise you would have said Bayom HaShmini.
If it's reason comes in, you do it as early as possible.
Yeah, it's just the Chiyav right away, of course. On the other hand, it says, "Uben Shmonat Yamim, Mimolachem Kol Zachar LaDorotechem, Yelid Bayit Umiknat Kesef." Now, I mean, in other cases where we don't have the Shmini, obviously by the God of the Nichrata, okay. But why is there a difference when it comes to this din of Yelid Bayit or Miknat Kesef? So Yelid Bayit would be a child that is actually born in the Rishus of the Yisrael. The Miknat Kesef is where the child is bought. All right, so at least that's the simple meaning. So it's clear from these two psukim that there are different circumstances. Sometimes it's Bayom HaShmini, sometimes it's Himol Yimol. All right, without Bayom HaShmini. Now, the more that we can compare it to Himol Lachem, meaning that it's like Yisrael, and that's what it says, Bench Shmonat Yamim Himol Lachem. So it's reasonable to assume that the closer it is to a normal birth of Yisrael, and that, of course, would involve whether the mother is male later, whether is the mother already a shifcha, etc., as we'll see, the more likely it is it would have the dinim of a birth of Yisrael and Bishmanat Yamim. Therefore, we're going to have to figure out what the cases would be. So there is such a thing as Yilid Bayit, that's Nima Lechmona, there's such a thing as Yilid Bayit, that's Nima Lechad. There's such a thing as a Miknat Kesef, that's Nima Lechad, and such a thing as a Miknat Kesef, that's Nima Lechmona. Let's go through the cases, and then we will see, says the Gemara, that it appears that this is what it revolves around. It revolves around the question of whether there's a linkage between Tumat Leida and the din of Ravashi, that they, you only do Mila Vishmini. So Yesh Miknat Kesef, Shanima Lishmona. Let's start at the beginning. Where is there Miknat Kesef where we have a normal din of Shmona Yamin? That would be Lakak Shifcha Muber. You purchase a Shifcha who is already pregnant, and then she gives birth. Now, even though you basically bought the fetus after it was already conceived, you bought the mother with the fetus. This is nonetheless, since it was born into the Rishus of Yisrael, this is a Miknat Kesev that is Nima Lishmona, and that's fine. Now, without any consideration of whether this Shifcha had already been put into a mikvah and had a din of a Jewish woman, Shifcha, who is Metama later or not. How about if you are Lakach Shifcha Uvlada Ima? However, if you bought the baby, not while she was carrying it, but while she was carrying it in her hands, then that's a Miknat Kesef. And over there, there's no din of Shmona. Over there, Nimol Echad.
The previous one was Yolid Bayit,
no? No. Yolid Bayit is where it was also conceived. This is where we're going to explain it. Wait till we get there.
Did we just say that the woman isn't Jewish, but the baby is? In the case where the Shifcha is pregnant and Miknat Kesef? In that case,
let's wait. There's two stages, just like there is in every Gerut. The initial stage by Eved is the purchase, and then there's the actual Gerut of the Eved. The purchase gives din of Miknat Kesef.
Right.
All right, so if you purchase something, it doesn't matter whether it's Jewish or not, it's your Eved, and therefore you have to be Mal. But then there's a difference of, was this Eved born to a mother who shares dinim of Yisrael?
Right, that's what I'm
okay,
saying.
That's what we're getting to. Okay. This is a complex sugya. Let's look through it. So if the these are both cases of Miknat Kesev. Now let's take a look at a Yelid Bayit. There's such a thing as a Yelid Bayit, that's Nima L'Shmona. And that would be, in a case, you bought a Shivcha, she conceived in your home, she had a baby, that's a real Yelid Bayit, that's Nima L'Shmona. Without consideration of whether she was Tamei Aleda. Says Rav Chama, oh no, wait a minute. It all depends when the mother went to the mikveh, because that's going to define, apparently, when she's to be a later. So if you bought the shivcha, she conceives, has a baby, and then you bring her to the mikveh, that would be the case. If Zyoldav Acharkachi Debila, that would be a case where it's not noilad as a Jewish baby, and it would not have a din of shmini, that would be a yelid bayit shenima le'echad. Why? Oh, apparently because he holds of what Ravasi says. There's a linkage between the mother being Tamei Aleda, which in this case, if she never went to the mikveh, she wouldn't be, and therefore there's no Ubayom HaShmini Yimol B'sar Latom, because in Tazriah it says that the two are interrelated. Whereas in the case where first he Tbila, first she goes to the mikveh and gets the dinim of the Yisraelit, and then she's Yolda, so now we've been Mekayim Mishaki Tazriya V'yada Zakarot Me'a Shivat Yamin U'Bayom HaShmini Yimo B'sar Lato. So in this case, you would require Nima L'Shmona. Now, we stopped. You notice we stopped in the middle because he interrupted us. No, wait, we're going to get back to the story. But you see that there is a Machlokas over here. Now, what is that Machlokas about? Apparently, the Tanakama couldn't care less. Tanakama says, I don't care. So what does that tell you? We don't believe that there is a linkage in the mother's tuma. That's the point. The afagav de inimot me'aleda nimol shmona. Aha. So there's clearly a machlokas right here between these two tanoim about the same halacha the Rabasi took for granted and said, there's definitely a linkage. Here we see that there's the Tanakama who argues, he says there's no linkage, and then there's Rav Chama who says there is a linkage. But now, let me get this, because you stopped in the middle. So according to Rav Chama, we have both, you've explained both cases. You've got a Yelid, mute yourself. You've got a Yelid Bayit, who is Nima L'Echad, and you've got a Yelid Bayit that's Nima L'Shmona, because we said it depends on whether the mother was Tamei Aleda. You have a Miknat Kesev that's Nima L'Echad, and a Miknat Kesev that's Nima L'Shmona. So Yolda V'Chachach Yitbila, that's the Yelid Bayit that's Nima L'Echad, because she wasn't Tamei Aleda. If Yitbila V'Chachach Yolda, that's Yelid Bayit HaNima L'Shmona. And that's perfectly good. But of course, it's only true according to Rav Chama. You still haven't explained it according to the Tanakhama that argues. Now, we also have, of course, the Miknat Kesev. We just want to review this. We have the Miknat Kesev, which was Nima L'Shmona. That's where the Shivcha was Mu'uberet. And, of course, you were Tevel her. And then she was Yoledet, because, I mean, certainly you're not going to give a Mishmini to the case where she was already pregnant. It's not going to be more Chomer than the case where she conceived in the house of the Yisrael. Okay, so in this case, she is the Miknat Kesev, because she was already pregnant, so it wasn't that it was completely Yelid Bayit, it wasn't conceived and born. But if she was Tevula, and then she gives birth, then it would be Nima L'Shmona. Perfect match to what Ravasi was saying. Ima Tamei Aleda, child Shmini. Whether it's Yelid Bayit or whether it's a Miknat Kesev. A Miknat Kesev where there would be no din of Shmini and where the child would be Nimal as soon as possible, even on the first day if he's healthy, Le'echad. That would be in a case where, okay, this could work out even in the, according to the Tanakhama. You were Lokach Zeshivcha V'zeh Ubra. So in a case where one person buys the mother, the other person buys the Vlad, now that is not similar to the case of the Yelida in the house of Yisrael. And in that case, we would, of course, say that this was indeed a miknat kesef, but there's no din of shmini, because it's not similar to where the mother has no shaykes at all. Okay. But according to the Tanna Kamma, now all of these cases add up except for one. I have not discovered yet the case of a yelid bayit that's nima le'achat. Because since, according to the Tanna Kamma, we don't care whether the mother's tmeah later or not, so then that would mean that if she conceived in the bayit of the Yisrael, and this child was born in the bayit of Yisrael, then that would mean that it's nima le'shmini, whether we were tovel her or not. So where's the case? Rabbi Yirmi, what do you mean, where's the case? The case is very simple. It's the same difference that we would make in the miknat kesef. Did we not say that there's a difference in the miknat kesef as to whether you own the mother? Sure. So the same thing would be true if the child is conceived and you don't own the mother. Well, what do you mean? So how would the child be yours? How could the child be conceived in your rishus, but you don't own the mother? That doesn't make any sense. Ah, but it does, you see. Because suppose you bought the rights to the reproduction of the mother. Can you buy a tree for its fruit? Yeah. So if you buy a tree for its fruit, you don't own the tree. You only have a lien for the fruit. But the fruit grew in your rishus. Now the same thing is true if you buy a human for the fruit of its womb. So you own the fruit of the womb.
Fruit of the womb.
Fruit of the womb. Yeah, it's born with an undershirt. But you don't own the mother. So that's the perfect case. So there you would have a yelid bayit. And obviously it would be the same way that the miknat kesef would be nimal not on shmini but on echad. That would be a case of yelid bayit. That was nimal echad. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah is very simple. Blokeach shivcha li'ubra. Ah, it's very simple, except for the fact that there's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish all over the place about whether a purchase of the rights to fruits gives you an actual kinyan in the tree or in the body of the womb that has created those fruits. That's a machlokes. Fine. If you're going to tell me that owning the production is not the equivalent of having any ownership in the body, okay, now you just explained it. But if you hold according to the Yama that kinyan perot is kinyan aguf, then this doesn't help you, because it's all very nice to say, I only own the shivcha for the baby, but you own the shivcha for the baby. So then, Michael Amemar, how are you going to explain that? Amr Bashar said, no, I can explain it. Because even though the Tanna Kamma is not machalik between hitbila or lo hitbila, how about in a case where you buy the shivcha beferush almanat shelo lahatbila? Over there, if you make a condition, I am purchasing this eved, in this case this shivcha, with the understanding that I will not be making her a permanent member of my household. Now normally when you buy an eved or a shivcha, you must immediately begin the process of gerut, because that's what being an eved or shivcha means. In other words, the original purchase is with the understanding that you wish to accept mitzvot, and in the lashon that we actually say to the eved, you wish to be an eved Yisrael who is a kosher of the mitzvot and do kabbal on yourself and so on. If the eved or shivcha refuses kabbalat mitzvot, you're not allowed to keep them. So, but in this case, if you make a beferish atnai initially, the purchase has been done with the understanding that it's not meant to become part of my household. So then, as Tosfos points out, the Gemara Yavama says you can keep them for quite a while, whatever that year is. But then that would mean that this mother has nothing in common with the Himolachem. It's one thing to say it's not linked to the Dida Tumas Leda. But even the Tanna Kamma is made that it's linked to be some way connected to Yisrael. And then it becomes Yelid Bayit. It's by no stretch of the imagination could we call this a Yelid Bayit Lachem. And therefore, in this case, it would be B'yom HaRishon. So if you were Lokeach Shivcham and Atlahat Shalolat Pila, then for sure you would not have a din of Shmini. Okay, so it comes out according to this, that indeed we do find a machlokas about whether there's a linkage to Tumas Leida, comes out according to this, that a Yelid Bayit is always in a case where the conception also occurs in the Beis Yisrael. And then where would we have a distinction between Nima Lashmini and not Nima Lashmini? That's the Machlokas. According to the Tanakhama, only if there's no resemblance to Yisrael and the mother. According to Rav Chama, even if there is a resemblance, but she wasn't yet put into the mikveh, and therefore there's no din of tumat leida on her. And that is a special gzirat ha-katuv, having seen Rav Asi's point of the linkage in Tazria between tumas leida and Yom HaShmini, we now understand that must be what the Torah was referring to, and the difference between Himolach and the Yilid Bayit and Miknat Kaspecha B'Yom HaShmini, or the Miknat Kaspecha Yimol, stop, without Yom HaShmini.